I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready. Gather round your radio now for Uzi and Aaron.
Aaron, you've been giving things to think about out there in the wild, aren't you?
Yeah, it's been a random kind of couple of weeks because I reckon 3 people have asked me, just strangers, if I'm going to have another baby. And one was quite effusive in, of course you're going to have another baby. And then last Friday night, I took Eliza to this kind of pub with the kids section. There was a playground out the back and we're having a play. And this lovely mother and I started chatting and she had 4 kids. And I was saying to her, I don't know how you do 4. And she goes, oh, no. 4's easier than 1. 1 is, you know, you have to play with them. It's quite intense. Yeah, she said they'll play with each other and I can kind of sit back. So, and then it got me thinking, A, is it harder with more kids or harder with just the 1, particularly when they're little? And B, do I want more kids? Like I'm 38 and I first of all, it's quite strange to be asked by strangers, but it really has got me thinking, do I want more? And I keep looking at little bubbas and I'm just, I don't know if I'm ready to not have any more.
Crossroads.
Look, yes.
One, from my point of view, when you just have 1, it's like a toy and you can focus all your energy on the 1 person, which is good. But when they get a bit older, it is tough because you are their playmate and you want to be their playmate for a little bit of the time, but not all day.
It is exhausting. And she had like a 7-year-old who was sitting down colouring in. Then she had a 10-year-old who was watching a video. Then she had the 3-year-old who was playing with Eliza. And then a little bubba who was kind of just crawling around. So they were all doing kind of their own little thing. But I just can't imagine. My mum had 3 under 3 and that would have been intense. And dad was away all the time as well. So I can't imagine that would be any easier than having 1. But I don't know.
We had 3 under 4.
Yeah.
And it's really, really intense, especially for the primary carer, which is my wife.
Does it get easier though? Is it, and Ed, you've just gone through this with little Vader, but is it, even though you've got 2, is it easier the second time round because it's not as terrifying? Like you actually know a little bit what you're doing?
Less worried.
Yeah.
Like if she, with Arnold, if he grunted, right, we're going to the children's, and now.
So true. Now she's literally like, help, help.
Yeah,
you're like, oh,
keep
quiet.
It down. Keep my singing song.
But they can, when they play together, is the best.
Like yes.
Our daughters are just the best friends and they can just all day together.
Yes.
You don't even have to get involved. It is wonderful.
What were they playing in a suitcase? Didn't they just spend all day putting each other in a suitcase?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a fun
that's
day
amazing.
For them. And they'll just put makeup on each other or they'll do anything. They just entertain themselves. I reckon this will be a landslide of people saying
Which way?
Multiple children is the way to go. I don't reckon we'll get anyone. Well, maybe we will, but to say 1 kid is the best.
But how can I love any other as much as I love her? And then what if I have to love another and then I don't give her as much and then she gets sad?
She'll get angry for a start because she'll think, why aren't I the center of the universe? But then she'll have a playmate.
Yeah, true.
Honestly, I reckon.
So here we go.
Whatever contraception you've got now, just throw it away.
Beautiful.
Sorry, what?
In the studio.
I'm just saying today's the day.
What's out in the floor? Oh, it's Aaron's contraception. Yeah, right. Who are you?
Your boyfriend doesn't have to know.
Right? You are
disgusting. Can find out.
He
can find
just
out.
Just said it on the radio.
Traditional way.
And we're not married, so I don't have any.
Now, Aaron, you're getting a lot of people asking you when are you having more children?
Yeah, sorry,
you've got
if
one
I'm having
moment.
More children. I've got 1 4-year-old, and obviously, in fact, a year ago, her dad and I separated, so I'm obviously dating someone else at the moment, but far too early to even think about children. But I don't think I'm done. I don't know.
Well, I mean, is 1 best? I mean, I wouldn't have thought anyone would say 1 is best, but who have we got?
Well, you need to meet Julie.
Hi. I've got 1 daughter. She's it was really tough growing up because I was her, her playmate, like you say.
Yeah.
That was really hard just forever having to play all the games, but now she's 18 and she's my bestest friend and I'm hers and it's just the best ever. We love each other to bits.
I just love it.
So you're very happy you did 1 and done, Julie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very much. It's a lot cheaper too. And yes. Think of it this way, Erin, she becomes your best friend later when you need her as well.
So you know, true. Because the other thing I was thinking is, like, I mean, we're each other's best friend now, but it obviously evolves as she gets older, that relationship. But then I keep thinking, God, what if she turns out to not be that fond of me in later years, and then I've only got one option to care for me when I'm elderly, and if she's got no interest, I don't have any backups.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's only one, like, you. Every cent you spend as an older person is a cent that she won't get.
So well put. Thanks, Julie. I'm so happy for your beautiful family. That's lovely. Cherie, what do you think?
Disagree. Multiple children is definitely the way to go. Yeah. The kids have always got someone to play with. To fight with as well, don't get me wrong. And going back to the whole, what the last caller just said, the best friend thing, I've got two daughters and one son, and I think that both my daughters can be like my best friend. I don't need to limit it to just the one. You'll have different stages with your children, you know, like through that young through to, oh, mine are a bit older now, but you go through a stage where they don't really like you too much again, but then you get them back as they get older. You definitely need more.
See, it's hard, Cherie. My little girl still sleeps with me, as I said, she's four, but she would normally, like, it's in the last 3 or 4 months, normally she sleeps right up into me, has to be touching arms around, like, it's quite torturous, to be honest. Now she's a foot away and I can't even touch her. She's now, even just in 3 months, decided she doesn't want to touch when we sleep anymore, which breaks my heart. And I'm like, oh, this is just the start. I obviously have a million phases of coming in and going and wanting her independence and then coming back. And
absolutely. Teenagers do not like their mums that much.
No. What if they're a cool mum? Like a hot, cool mum who gives them champagne.
I am that cool mum, trust me. You do lose them for a little bit. But no, you definitely need multiples, and it's nice for them to have somebody. Yeah. Sometimes they gang up on you and, you know, they gang up on each other. It is beautiful. When you get to see your children getting on and just doing things together, it is the most beautiful thing as a parent to see.
But so what gorgeous. What is your, are your daughters the two oldest, or how's the
so I've got an older one, 24, and then the youngest is 16, so there's a bit of an age difference, but those two now, sometimes they fight, but they make TikToks together and you know, play games together. It's really big age difference with them, but they're friends, and it's really, really nice. And the oldest one's already talking about, when you're 18 I can take you out, you know. It's nice. Beautiful. Someone to look after her.
Absolutely. Oh, that's oldest beautiful. Sister. My daughters share a room, and I reckon they probably will till they're probably 30, I reckon, and they love it, you know. So you need, come on, Erin, you've got to do it.
Okay. What did you say to do before?
Throw away your contraception. Let's make this happen.
With who?
Doesn't with your, anyway, you have the discussion with him, all right? But is he ready?
If he's not, we've got a lot of callers. We'll step into the breach.
Yeah, Johnny looks really keen.
Bureau ass.
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
Mayday, mayday. This is relationship number 456. We've got no choice. We're going to have to make an emergency landing.
Crash investigator Hughes, we have reports of a relationship crashing and burning off the coast of Tinder.
My God, not another one. Did we recover the black box?
We sure did.
Well, stop wasting time. Get that thing open and let's see what went wrong.
Paula and Clive went on 3 dates. Each time she offered to split the bill, but he refused. Then one day, something changed. Here is what went down.
And I will be playing Clive.
And I am Paula.
Friday, 10:30 a.m.
Good morning. How'd you go getting up?
Friday, 4:20 p.m.
Feeling any better or question mark?
Friday, 8:45 p.m.
LOL. Are you giving me a sign?
Monday, 9:05 a.m.
Hey, sorry for the slow reply. I've had such a busy weekend. I've been having a think, and while I really enjoyed hanging out with you, I feel like we're looking for different things.
Okay. I was pretty clear from day one on what I was looking for. It was unfair to lead me on. It was also unfair to make me pay for everything.
I mean, I'm sorry you feel like that, but we only went on 3 dates. I don't think I led you on. And I did offer to pay every time.
Your offers weren't genuine. I felt pressured. When I paid for the tie, you just sat there silently. You didn't say a word.
You told me a woman never pays.
Well, she does today.
What do you mean?
The NRL tickets were $56. The movie tickets were $22.
You're kidding.
I never kid.
Clive sends his bank details.
You have 4 hours.
Ooh. Oh, that's brilliant. I'm torn. I kind of think.
Paula, did you use all those 4 hours or was he still waiting after the 4 hour time limit expired?
Hello. No, I blocked him.
Oh, I love that.
Right. So he never got his cash from the movie tickets or the NRL.
I mean, I offered on the spot, you know?
And what was he going to do? It was like when the former Prime Minister said, this is a red line, but there was nothing we could have ever done regarding that. It's like, what was he going to do?
Right? I was just like, I offered. Now your ego's hurt. What do I
When he did pay up for the tickets, did he seem to pay through gritted teeth or did he look like he paid happily at the time?
Happily. Yeah. Happily.
All right.
And look, to be honest, like 4 messages in a row over 3 days unreplied, like stop.
Yeah.
You did give him 3 dates though, so he would have thought that he was in basically. So did it just turn on the 3rd date or did you already know by the 2nd date that he wasn't the one?
No, 2nd date I was like humming and haring. But 3 dates, I don't think that's that much.
No, and look, to be honest, I dated this guy years ago that was very well off, and we went to dinner a fair bit. And I was pleasantly poor at that stage, and I am willing to admit that I did continue to go out with him for dinners, and he kept wanting to kiss, and I didn't want to kiss, and then yeah. But I reckon 10 dates I did.
10 dates?
I know.
10's a few. That's too many.
No, I know that was me. I was much younger. Wow. I just moved to Sydney.
And were you like drinking the finest wine on the menu? Is it were you?
Course.
Making the most of it.
Yes, but I think he enjoyed my company.
Yeah, well, he did, but he didn't. He wanted to. Yeah, all right. Now he would have enjoyed
more.
We want to talk to people who have been on dates with tight people. Is that what we want here?
So I mean, yeah, absolutely
we're not
right.
Saying Paul is tight, though, are we?
No, we're not saying Paul is tight. No, Paul's not tight. Have you found love since, Paula? You're a beautiful woman.
No, not yet. But I'm kind of on a break after that.
Did it make you just say you'll go 50-50 from then on or not?
But the thing is, I did, and I was like, please let me pay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, no one's blaming you, Paula.
But then also women do empty offers. I've done them many times. Can I put it? Yeah.
Just spoke to Paula, not her real name, who went on 3 dates with a bloke. And once she decided she didn't want any more dates, he came calling for the money that he spent on NRL tickets and movie tickets.
I can tell you where he's going wrong with dating, why she didn't want to see him again.
Because of the NRL?
Who wants to go to the rugby league on a date?
Well, she might be into the rugby league.
Yeah,
a lot of women love rugby league.
No, thanks, Scoop. I hosted it for 10 years. I get that. But why would you want to go on a date there?
Because your team's playing and this guy's got your free tickets.
Mm.
And maybe you find rugby league players hot and maybe you just went to ogle them and while the guy beside you thought you were in, he was in, yeah, you know what I mean.
I'm with
yeah.
You.
Mm-hmm. Who we got?
You been on a few tight dates, have you, Stace?
My ex-partner.
How long did you stay with this tight wad?
I was with him for about 4 years and I've got a child with him.
Tricky, isn't it?
That is really
hard. But how early on did you realise he was tight? What was he doing?
Oh, probably after like the first 3 years.
It took you 3 years?
So there was a couple of scenarios. The first one, we were at McDonald's drive-thru when I asked him for 50 cents for a sweet and sour sauce and he blatantly refused to give it to me because apparently I didn't need that.
Yeah, look, I do think the extra sauce is unnecessary, though. I'm not.
Oh, for God.
Oh, well, I mean.
Well, I mean, if you get chicken nuggets, you need it. You kind of need the sauce.
Yeah, but what's a waste, though? I often only use half of it and then the other half just goes. Any other examples?
Well, we're at Woolworths one time and I wanted to get some tomato sauce and you needed a Everyday Rewards card to get the discount for the sauce and he refused to give me that too.
He refused to give you his Everyday Rewards card.
Yeah, it must have been something about sauce that he just didn't want to help me out with.
Maybe when he was young, he got squirted in the eye or something and he's got this PTSD.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't cost him anything to hand over his Everyday Rewards.
It cost him more.
No, that's getting him points as well. I don't know what was wrong with him.
He could have ended up in Bali if you bought enough sauce.
Anyway. Thank you, Stacey. Here's Kerry. Is it your current partner?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
So you're enduring it as we speak, I imagine.
Yeah, so when I first met him, I met on a dating app, which was Oasis. So we went for a date, we had coffee. So when he went to order the coffee, he ordered, instead of ordering a small one, he ordered a large one. And I asked him, did I want a cake? And I said, yeah, I'd have a cake. So when it came to paying, I forgot my wallet.
Yep.
Okay, no problems. I'll pay for it. So after that, we went for dinner, same thing. I end up paying. It's no issue paying for it. And then we just started talking about his background. He's German, so I thought, oh, here we go. Tight as fish's ass. So, yep. And then the other day,
you're still with him, yes.
Yes, 7 years.
So you love this man.
He's got redeeming features.
You love this man.
7 years. He says, I'll go and buy you some jumpers. What? Okay, 160 later. And then turns around and says, they're for your birthday.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So when's your birthday?
December.
In December. Oh,
you a can't smart be, man, though.
Yeah, you can't be buying winter jumpers for a December birthday.
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
With great weather and sunshine, you got to go to the beach. And I just had to, man. I had to.
I get it.
I drove down there. I called Dr. Chris Brown, the Bondi vet of the living room foam and the doghouse and, you know, everything else he does. Because he's my go-to man when I go down there. And he did not answer my call. So
yeah, not after last time.
No, he was fine. He was fine. He just was busy at the time. So I'm there on my own. And I had a quick dip in the ocean. And the water's reasonable. So, but then I thought, you know what? I've got to hit the icebergs place, you know, where they have the ocean pool. Mm-hmm. And so I hit the ocean pool. I did one lap.
That's pretty
and
good.
I thought about Cody Simpson and, you know, how I can keep going and end up, you know, at the Commonwealth Games, but, and it was just, you know, I just had to get out because I'm going to have a heart attack. So,
okay.
So I got out of the ocean pool and I was cold. I'm not going to lie.
Mm.
So I thought, you know what? What do? You hit the sauna there.
Ooh.
So the Bondi vet introduced me to the sauna and the last time I went there was with him and he didn't hold my hand, but he protected me in the sauna.
Protected.
And it's standing room only in the sauna.
Yes.
So that I'm going to go in on my own. So, and I actually asked another man, I said, where's the sauna? And he said, I'm going in, follow me.
Oh, now that is, do you know what? Mate, that is.
No, but he acknowledged that.
That is a code as old as time itself.
No, he acknowledged that sounded weird. We had a bit of a laugh. And this is a very public place. There's a window. You look out to the ocean. So, yeah, it's all good. So we go in there and then I lose him in there because it's jammed.
Lose him? Lose him. It's not the Sahara Desert. What do you mean you lost him?
Mate, there's just sweating bodies everywhere. You can't tell who's who. So we're in there. I'm standing up. Some bloke recognises me and he goes, you're the comedian, you're on the radio. Right. And then everyone's looking at me and I felt like, oh God, do I have to do a stand-up set in here, do I? So I'm just, it's a bit awkward. I say, good on you, mate. We shake hands. This other bloke, he recognised me. And then, so I'm still standing there. And then another bloke whispers, he's got a spot up on one of the benches.
Oh.
He whispers, he goes, come here. So I'm like, what? And then I look up. and I recognise him. This guy, yes, my old buddy, famous actor. We sit there, we chat about what's going on in his life. We're talking about big names. I'm obviously, you know, I dig for big names.
You dig for big names, yeah.
For big names. You keep digging.
I get a lot of
good stuff.
You get all the good names.
And we rebond, all right? Me and this famous actor, and we both decide to leave the sauna at the same time.
Right, you picked up.
No, I didn't pick up. No, I sort of did pick up because I thought, here's the guy I can re-friend, all right? I knew years ago, and I can re-friend him. So I say, what's your number? You know, and he gives me his number, and I'm not quite sure if I've got the right number. So I punch his name and his number in, and then I do the thing where I show him the screen.
Oh, no.
I show him the screen. I said, is that your number? And he looks at the number. He says, that's my number, but I'm not Ditch Davey.
Former Blue Heelers actor Ditch Davey. So you think you're chatting to Ditch in the sauna? How long were you chatting to How long were you chatting to this non-Ditch in the sauna?
No, I was the man I was chatting to. As look, Ditch Davey's had a great career, but man's had a better career. No, I'm not going to compare careers. I'm not comparing careers. But have we got this man when we come back? Are we going to talk to him?
I believe he's coming on. Find out who wasn't Ditch Davey in the sauna.
So I'm at Bondi, I'm in the sauna, I bump into a famous actor friend of mine, we rebond after years, I leave the sauna, I get his number because I want to hang out with him, I show him the screen saying, is that the right number? He says, that's the right number, but I'm not Ditch Davey. And it's one of the worst moments of my life. And have we got him now?
Yeah, look, fresh from the set of Last King of the Cross, it's the actual man, the great Damien Walsh Howling.
Damien Walsh Howling, you didn't just swear then, did you? Have we got
him? No, I would never do that, Jason. Ever.
All right.
I don't think...
Boys, thanks for having me on Radio National. It's a real pleasure. I love it. And let Jen know that, you know, I'm sorry she's sick and at home.
I'll tell her. Okay.
Now, Damien, we did bond in that sauna, didn't we?
We did. And at the moment before, there was a really happy fella in there. That was one of the funniest moments for me. I was sitting in there. I'm this packed in like, you know, sardines. And Dave walks in. I notice him just as he walks in. And this guy says, hey, are you that comedian? Straight out in front of everybody. But the second bit was the piece of resistance. He goes, do you still do that?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
That hurt me. Oh. I had to promote the fact I was at the Enmore that night, and he said he might come, but he didn't turn up, mate.
No, I didn't think he would, Dave.
Now, buddy, we yeah, so the moment where I showed you the screen and Ditch Davey's name was on it, did you think about not saying anything or not? How did your mind go then?
Actually, I think there was like this really cruel moment in my mind where I went, oh, this is funny. I just gotta bring this up. You know, there's that side of us that you want to bring out occasionally. You never do it. And you think, you know, I should be polite here. And you use that all day, every day of your life. And there's just one moment every couple of weeks where you go, I can actually use this.
I love the idea that as an actor, you assume the role of Ditch Davey for the next 6 months, hanging out with Husey and saunas and Bondi.
Well, Ditch, the funny thing is, Ditch is actually an awesome fella. So, you know, I mean, it's not a, but we look nothing alike.
No, I know he's blonde and he's sort of surfy looking. You're like a classically handsome, you know, man with dark and swarthy looks, you know.
Yes, but at one point you both were on Blue Heelers. That's true, isn't it?
No.
That's very true. And it's funny. It's actually funny because he came in a couple of seasons after me. But then the last episode, like 10 years after I left, they asked me to come back and reprise my role. And at that stage, of course, my character had turned into a criminal because that's all you can do if you're going to bring a character back. So I'd gone from a cop to a criminal, and Ditch was the one, you know, giving me a hard time in the interview room.
So we spent
a bit of time together. But, you know, I got to tell you, one of the funniest things that ever happened to me, I was sitting at the veggie bar in Melbourne and this guy came by and I saw him notice me and he came in and he said, mate, oh, I love your work. I just, everything you do, you know, like,
you know, when I came to see the Hunters, you know, Hunters and Collectors back in, and I'm thinking, what the, and I'm thinking,
you thought you were Mark Seymour, because you've got those chiseled cheeks.
At that point, I couldn't let him down. I couldn't do what I did to you, and so I signed an autograph.
Yeah. But, mate, would you hang out with me? I mean, you're photographed hanging out with Orlando. There's a photo of you and Orlando Bloom. You're a star in your own right. You know the biggest stars in the world. Could I join that pack at all?
Mate, as long as you promise that when you meet any of those people, you will call them by the wrong name.
Oh, that's it. Hey, Damien, there is no chance that won't happen. Don't you worry about that. You will not have to try.
The bit of the story you haven't told is how far you had to walk to find your car.
Yeah, I know. I parked my car somewhere and I walked for an hour to try to find it. While I was trying to apologise to Damien, I'm saying, mate, I can't find my car.
You have had the full Hughie experience. The sauna, the getting the name wrong, and then the hour-long march to find his car. Welcome aboard, Damien. It's quite a ride.
It's amazing. Ed, I got to tell you, he wrote to me and he said it's somewhere between Bondi and Maroubra.
Are you going to need new clothes? Is that right?
Oh, well, yeah, I will if this current trajectory continues. I've got an issue, and I know when you first start dating someone, you obviously try harder, right? And then you just slip into comfort mode, which I've been in for a little while now. And I've just started to notice that things that I wear that I know that my partner doesn't find attractive, they disappear.
You're right. Do you put them on so that, you know, you can have a night off?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're in high rotation. I'm so tired. But there was this pair of big baggy shorts that I loved because they were so comfy. You could bloat. They weren't tight. They weren't hot. I get it. But they disappeared very early on in the relationship, just went.
So you believe that he stole them?
Without any doubt. Another thing, a big pair of...
Is there a chance that he stole them so he could take them home with him? And
they would have fitted him, I'm sure, without doubt. But a big pair of green trackies that are really baggy. Like, I don't know what men expect us to do, like wear tight stuff all the time just for their pleasure, but that just is not going to happen. You can't throw something out because you don't like it.
So he's throwing out all your baggy stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Essential. So all I've got left is like spandex, basically.
Yeah. You can understand that. You do like to see your partner. You like to see the contours, you know.
Well, there is one shirt that he had that I might have meddled with a little bit because I just he wore it very early on. It was nearly a deal breaker. It's like this white button up and it has no collar. It just looks, I know. And it just.
Oh, that's awful.
And it's the way to look, is it?
He looks like
it's like, you know, those really rich men who try and wear. Mm. And like, I'm not saying he's a rich man, but and then he wore these velvet kind of loafers.
Velvet. Socks? Did he wear them with socks or not?
I don't know. I can't remember. I was too upset about the top and it just didn't have a collar. It just buttoned up and then you get to the top, you expect there to be a collar. There's no collar.
Did you get rid of them or you just didn't like them?
No, I put makeup on it.
Oh, you deliberately smeared makeup on his. Yeah, right. Is she alone or does this happen to in a lot of relationships?
Let's find out, shall we? Is there an item that your partner hates you wearing? Or perhaps you've taken the drastic steps of throwing out something of your partner's that you didn't like them wearing?
See, from my perspective, I would rather my partner look unattractive because then there's less competition. You know, he should want me to wear the ugliest stuff everywhere so less men find me attractive.
My wife is really anti me wearing jeans that are dirty. Like, you know,
you've got egg juice on jeans and you're a vegan. I don't know what you do with your jeans.
131060, the clothing your partner hates.
I love women wearing tracksuit pants. Yes. I'm not going to lie. Like baggy pants. You know? And
why?
I don't know why.
Of mystery. What's inside?
Yeah. Well, also, that's a woman who's comfortable, who's not sort of, you know, having to be preened every second of the day. And did you say that your partner doesn't like jumpers either?
No, right? There was someone else who's rung up whose partner doesn't like jumpers. No, I think he likes jumpers. He's quite conservative, actually, in terms of, like, he's not into skanky.
So how does he deal with the photo? Oh, how does he deal with your Instagram?
What? What does that mean?
No, I'm saying that in your Instagram you look amazing.
Did you just say my Instagram's skanky?
No, I did not say that. No, it isn't.
That's not what I heard.
It's wonderful. Does he like your photos on Instagram or not?
I wouldn't have thought so. Not really, no. He doesn't have Instagram, but it's not. No, he would prefer I wore a. What do nuns wear?
A habit.
Habit.
See, that's, I mean, I'm into that as well.
I know you are. You love a nun.
It's a whole other segment.
Tell you what, love's a nun. Protein from Cronulla. Are you hiding your husband's clothes, are you?
Oh, you are. I have to. They're so ugly.
Oh, I love
You've
that.
You've got no idea.
What's he got? Take me through it. I want descriptions.
Okay. He has these polo shirts that he bought when we were in Vietnam. They're like, you know, 20 cents or something.
Oh, high quality.
They're like a fake brand. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So they're Ralph Lauren or something. Yeah.
They're Ralph Lauren.
Fabric and, oh, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they change a letter, yeah.
But every time I see them, I hide them. And he keeps finding them, so I have to get better at hiding, right?
So where do you hide them? Like, what's your kind of go-to?
I've done all sorts of weird things. I've put them in the bottom of the recycling. I've stuck them in the back of his wardrobe. Places where I think he might not go.
Roseanne, do you give him presents, clothing presents, and that, you know, hopefully that he'll wear them or not?
Well, I have tried over the years, but this is someone who has the same, you know, pair of shorts that he's had for like 20 years and the same pair of shoes. And
I know the type, I know. And then look, they've got other good traits, you know.
Yeah, but also, he's a man who values what he's had for a long time. And I think Roseanne should remember
Roseanne's
that.
Included.
It's a good thing. He never wants to throw anything out, Roseanne. You'll have this man for the rest of your life.
Oh, great.
She's not that chuffed.
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
Turn the big 3-9, Erin.
Correct.
And we had your mother on the radio and we were talking about a number of things, but we sort of started to drill down on when you first, you know, when the first egg and the other thing joined together.
You say we.
Yes.
You. I did not drill down on that. I have no interest as to how I was conceived. You did. Don't say we and include Ed and I in your debauchery.
It's not debauchery. It is a married couple. They're in a long-term relationship and they love each other and they're allowed to do what they did. And if they didn't do what they did, you would not be in the world.
I know.
And the term you used here for what they did to make you really annoyed me. All right, let's have a listen from the other day. Was it December night?
A reenactment.
Was it a Christmas?
That's disgusting. Let's not.
You're Christmas. That's disgusting.
No, I think I was talking about Ed saying, let's do a reenactment.
Yeah, but no. Well, you were referring to your parents
yes.
having marital relations.
I don't want to think about it, Hughie. Not now, not currently, not 39 years ago. I don't want to think about them having marital relations.
You're an adult. You're 39. You should be able to think about your parents doing that because I'm sure they're still doing it.
They would not be.
They would be.
In their early 70s. There is no way.
Anne is a very attractive woman and Jim is a hot soldier.
This has really escalated.
Mm. He's a powerful man and she would not be able to help herself.
Mm.
And together they would still, I believe,
mm-hmm.
making sweet love.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to say that in front of their daughter because I'm sick to death of it happening in my house when my children, whenever their mother hugs me, they go, and it leads to my wife being paranoid, so paranoid that whenever we do have relations, ooh. Which we're allowed to.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not against the law.
No, not by a long shot.
It is in some countries, but not here.
Not if you're married.
No, it's still in some countries.
And you're inside, yeah?
Yeah, we're inside.
Yeah,
that's what I mean, yeah.
We're inside our bedroom.
No, that's cool, yeah.
And we have to be so quiet.
No.
Yeah.
It's like there's people with guns outside who are ready to come in and start shooting as soon as they hear a noise.
No.
Is that kind of hot, though?
Well, yeah, it is a big but we shouldn't be made to think that we're doing something wrong.
Yeah, you're so right. Or ashamed of your own behaviour or the selfishness while the kids are hungry outside or bored or can't get off their chairs. You're inside doing the dirty dance.
Whenever we hear a creak, you know, we have to both freeze. Like we're statues. I'm telling you, I want to hear from the parents who are still able to carry on a healthy life, even though there's children in the house. Happy birthday one more time for Aaron Molan.
Thank you.
But what disappointed me about the whole celebration was you referring to what your parents did to conceive you as disgusting.
I don't think there's any child that thinks it's a beautiful thing. It is like that's the whole point. We're meant to think it's disgusting. That's what kids do.
That attitude is stopping parents expressing their love for each other. And the parents aren't doing it enough, I believe. And that part of the reason is the paranoia about the children finding out.
Yeah. Well, Aaron promised us some stats. Let's speak to Paul. What's going on at your joint?
You're spot on, actually, guys. But my wife was that paranoid. So what I did is I relined the walls between the bedrooms with insulation.
Yeah.
And then we got a solid core door put in. You know, the solid core doors, not like the hollow doors. And so that gave us the full-on soundproofing.
Yeah. So you can express your love for your partner and she can express her love naturally.
Oh, we can play, you know. We can play loud music. The kids can't even hear anything. It's great.
Wow.
Do you have a lock on the door, Paul, or not?
We do. We've got a lock on the door. Yep. We've got to put it on very carefully and silently, the lock, because the kids can hear it through the hallway. So we've just got to be...
Though they know what's coming. Can I ask, Paul, I mean, you soundproofed the walls in your bedroom. That's a lot of effort to go to. Are there other jobs around the house that your wife's been nagging you to do for years that you haven't quite found the time for yet?
There's plenty. Plenty, but that was a priority. Let me tell you, Aaron, that was a priority.
I bet it was.
There's one job that is the most important job, you know, and it keeps couples together. How often are we needing the soundproofing, Paul? Once a week, twice a week?
Oh, yeah, at least twice. But yeah, it depends on work and everything else in the world. Yeah.
Twice a week is beautiful. I think that should be bare minimum, to be honest.
Okay.
Let's let the experts tell us in a second after.
All right.
Kim.
Okay, Kim, how many kids you got?
I've got 5 kids.
Whoa. Yeah, so you've obviously done it at least 5 times. But how do you go with the 5 children in the house? Are you still able to do it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we just make time when we're spontaneous. But the kids are not; they know about it. Sometimes we have visitors come to the door, and they're like, "Oh, Mum and Dad are in the bedroom having sexy time."
Whoa!
You know what I love is the spontaneous. So just whenever you want to, you just go.
Yeah, but now they've grown up a bit, it's backfired because now they like to tell us how much they enjoy it.
Oh.
Okay, that's
Wait, how old are they, Kim?
Wow.
The youngest is now 18 and the eldest is 25. So they've grown up. Yeah.
So do you compare notes or do you like...
I don't want to know about their sex life.
Well done, Kim. $100 spotlight to our 2 friends there. Erin Mullen, the stats tell
yes.
us.
Yes. So one quote from this report is, it is not uncommon for mothers of newborns to feel disgusted by their partners. I just wanted to throw that in. Wow. They say once a week is what you need.
Yeah. I think we can agree with that, can't we? It's like...
Well, what about you two?
Be nice.
We're upping our average.
How often?
I think we're over 2.
You're in a ripe spot now, aren't you? Yeah.
Susie, Ed and Aaron. Now, Aaron, you have said that you and your boyfriend could be over because of something that happened after you went out for dinner on Saturday night.
Yeah, we went for a lovely meal, got home maybe around 9:30, 9:45, and we did something we've never done before. And I think it's the start of the end.
What do you think they did, Stacey?
So I reckon you guys were in such a fluster that you guys left without pain and realised once you got home.
To become that couple.
Look, that I'm not saying that wouldn't happen in the future.
But... Imagine you two just walking out of court.
Hey,
you know?
Just an Instagram post is okay, Luke. Thanks, Dell. Bye. You know, give it a red hot
you
crack.
You could get desperate at some point.
Yeah. Look, thanks. Yeah, no, I probably will at some stage. No, that's not it, Stacey, but good guess. Thank you so much. What about Marina?
Okay. I think Erin developed an upset tummy and got a runny bum and diarrhea in the toilet.
Oh, my God.
I agree with you, Marina. I think, is she close to the mark? Because I think you possibly shared flatulence with your partner. Did you have a fart off?
Well, can I tell you what we ordered? A whole dish of cabbage.
They do
a special cabbage. My boyfriend actually joked about the fact that we both had a significant amount of cabbage.
You know, you're meant for each other when you can endure that situation.
Well, there was no enduring because I didn't pass any wind.
Did he pass wind?
Not that I know.
Did he give you a Dutch oven? Was that what happened?
Isn't that where you like trap someone under a doona and then fluff?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. That's disgusting.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Dutch love it, so.
He's in his 40s, his mid-40s. If he was Dutch ovening me, mate, we would not still be together.
Forever young.
Okay.
Well, that's it. Has anyone got any other, Ed, you got an idea what happened? All right, now we've got to move on.
Okay, so what happened was we got home, walked in, it was still 9:45.
Yes.
So, you know, I do my show the next day, but not till night. So we're going to have it. We could have had to sleep in. There was no constraints. And I said to old mate, do you want me, shall I pour us a wine? You know, because that's what we'd always do when we get home from somewhere. You know, you'd have another glass or two of wine because you're excited. We're still in love. It's fresh. It's honeymoon phase. Yeah. And he said, oh, no, I think I'll just have a
cup of tea.
We had cups of tea.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a wonderful story.
No, it's not. It's the start of the end.
No, but it means that he doesn't need to drink to be with you. You know, it's like,
oh, my God.
I think it's the best. That's the best news ever. I'm going to stay forever.
Okay, amazing. Change my tune.
Congratulations.
Wait, you think he needed to drink to be with me?
Well, I assumed that you were drinking buddies. But if he's a tea buddy, he's a caper.
I mean, we had shared a bottle just prior, so he was liquored a little bit.
Yeah, but he wasn't. He didn't go right off the edge.
Yes. It's a great sign. Yes.